I always preach for 45, so we'll see how that goes for us today. So Ephesians chapter 6, you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy writ. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I'm going to jump down now to verse 12 so that we'd understand. Well, let's jump to verse 10. There's some things in there about servants and masters that's important. We covered that well in Sunday school. And let's look again at the warfare that we're involved in that's brought out here in this close. And it says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Listen, if you're going to raise children, you need that verse right there, all right? Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Before I read these next verses, let me mention an evangelist named Jack Parchman. Many of you know him. And he preached this one time about he and his wife would stand and physically every morning act out the putting on of this armor. What a blessing again. And so we've done that before at our house, but I'm not a very good actor. So pay attention to these things and understand that these are things that we should put on a regular basis. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge it's given here. And may we learn some things about parenting. Father, because we love you. Father, many here are already done parenting. But Father, I pray again that we'd understand that you are our Father. We are your dear children. And there's still things for us to learn. And we'll praise you now and thank you for your hand on your words. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we consider again this topic. We want to talk some things about child rearing and look at just some scriptures, what the Bible says about it. Studies show that capital punishment does not deter crime. Studies show abundantly that capital punishment does not deter crime. Amen. What does God say? Let's look in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 21:21. There's a whole bunch of these verses I could look at, but let's just pick this one because I like it. Deuteronomy 21:21 should be a circle underlined in your Bible. Deuteronomy 21:21 says this, and I like that one too because it's easy to remember. It rhymes with 2020, which is your vision again. Only it's one above vision, all right. Deuteronomy 21:21. "And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's the death penalty there we're talking about. And so notice again that God's got a different opinion Amen. Than all the studies of this world, Amen. Of our sick, twisted society.
Amen.
And so again, understand that all the studies show that spanking a child is wrong. All the studies show that spanking a child in New York State right now, it is a punishable offense if you do that. You get turned into child services. Your children can be taken away if they find out that you spanked them. And so again, understand, I don't care too much what all the studies show. And you better be careful when you study what studies show. I taught statistics down at Elmira College for 2 years. And listen, the old adage that statistics don't lie, but liars use statistics is still true again. And so don't believe anything that is taught by studies. That is not our source of truth.
Amen.
Our source of truth is this. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's written down. And we've got it. We're students of it. And so be careful of studies. I know I just put out the thing about what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. And so I'd again just say, if you see it on the internet, be careful of what the studies say. And be very suspicious of what the internet says. What your great-great-grandma said was, eat your vegetables. And that should break more up there again than what we see in studies by our American food industry that's getting rich. That's a side. I won't go any further down that road. Notice that Psalms 127, 3 through 5. Let's look there. Psalms 127. I hope all these after 20 years are marked in your Bible. If not, jot them down and we'll get them all done. I've got a picture of a very picturesque paddle. In the margin of my, I got a wide margin Bible, so I drew a picture of a paddle beside each one of these verses that mentions this theme. And so let's look at Psalm 127. And it resembles, again, the one that I was very familiar with in my upbringing. Psalms 127 and verse 3. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." I got a little message I could preach on that, having been a youth pastor for 20 years. I like this verse. We had three sons in our home, and we had 12 kids. But God stepped in and hindered that and prevented that. But listen, I love this verse right here. And to understand what it says about raising children. And some information that's in there. You know, it could have said this. It said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. As swords." Don't say that. What's the difference between an arrow and a sword? You're going to let an arrow go. You're going to let it fly. And listen, when you're raising children, you're going to let them go. And there's a whole bunch to be said about making sure that your arrows are straight. Making sure, again, that they're raised straight. Because you're going to launch them into this world. And they're going to do great harm either to the enemy or to the saints. And so be careful again and understand God's picture here. In this child rearing is we're in the Lord's business and our raising of our children is for His purposes. They're His children. And so I just throw that out there and have you ponder that. Think about that a little bit. But why is these analogies in here? There's a good reason for all of them. Ephesians 6:4 we read and we looked at a little bit in Sunday school. To nurture. Fathers, provoke not your children to rash, but raise them in the nurture. Anybody know what nurture means? Can we figure out what that means without a dictionary? To nurture? It rhymes with nutrition. Huh? Maybe?
It's like a vitamin. It's like
nourishment, again, is food. And so, very literally, it is you're going to feed them. You're going to make provision for them. You're going to provide for them. Raise them in the nurture of the Lord. And so again, we're to raise our children so that they know what the Lord says. Raise them in the nurture and the admonition. Anybody know what an admonition is? Anyone ever been admonished?
You admire the Lord. Nurture, you get them to admire the Lord.
Okay, that's good, but I'm not sure that rhymes with admonition.
Correct them.
Yeah, okay, there's some correction in there. But notice it isn't a whipping, is it? Admonition, it's not a hard correction, but it is a correction. And it is a steering mechanism, again, more or less than a punishment mechanism. And so admonition, an interesting word that's used there. It implies a gentle reproof. It implies counseling. Webster says that it's against a fault. It is instruction in duties. It is a caution. It is a providing a direction. And notice again the verse that when we raise children, we are raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not our nurturing, not our admonition. Ours is bad. But the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Follow His pattern. And that's what we want to emphasize here just a little bit. One more verse. Let's look at this in just in regards, just to keep it in our back of our mind. Turn to me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, normally I'd give you all of the spare the rod, spoil the child verses. But these are some others that, again, play into this whole concept of rearing children that sometimes we skip over. Hebrews chapter 12. I like this again, and notice the analogy that's in here in great depth. Let's just pick it up in verse 7 and 8. If ye endure chastening, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Notice the harshness of that there again. And again, it's repeated through Psalms. That if you love your child, you will chasten your child. And so there is chastening involved. And here, even as the father chasteneth his children, so we are to chasten. Proverbs 23:13 and 14. Proverbs, I'm going to bounce you around a little bit in scripture here just so we'll get this emphasis. And I didn't get my bookmarkers in, so it's a sword drill here for us all. Proverbs chapter 23. There's several on this page, so let's just look at verse 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Does everyone understand that verse? Is that just our interpretation of that verse? No, that's the English interpretation of that verse. And boy, it sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Notice, again, my father's favorite chastisement was with a belt. And I guess it was ours, too. I never forget, all the Rices were at our house. What was that? I forgot who was all there.
We were down at Chuck and Lois's.
Oh, we're down at Chuck and Lois's. That's what it was, my older brother. And he come in, and as his manner was, I guess, because he was a little bit overweight. Not that Rices do that sort of thing. But he come in after we'd been out doing something together. And he come in, and the kids were all together playing there. And he took his belt off. And he pulled his belt off. And all three of my kids stood up from where they were playing and ran over and sat on the couch. And thought, boy, someone is going to get it now, you know. So, and they didn't want to be involved at all. And Beverly and I just laughed. And Chuck and Lois, they didn't even see it. They didn't even see what happened there. But Beverly and I knew what happened. And the kids knew what happened. And we talked about it, laughed about it on the way home. But again, notice that this rod and this beating is a very real thing. And goodness knows if this gets on Channel 2 News again, they'll have them here to arrest us probably. So again, understand the Bible is clear. And it goes directly against what all society says. And you have to choose you this day whom you are going to serve in this matter. Well, we tried spanking and it don't work for us. A balderdash again. You're not doing it God's way. And so there's some things that we just need to learn here from God on child rearing. And I just want to open the vista so we can see some of those things. And notice the next verse there. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, verse 14, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Listen, I'm not saying a child cannot get saved if they've been raised wrong. But again, the challenge is up. And again, it takes a great miracle. Listen, it takes a miracle to save anybody. But listen, once a child has no respect for authority, has no self-discipline within themselves, and that's what discipline brings, is a self-discipline that a child has an angry disposition in life, it's your fault that I'm in this mess disposition in life. That all comes because they were raised without chastisement, without a discipline in their upbringing. Listen, it's going to be very difficult for them to surrender to the authority of Jehovah God and accept His salvation. And so there it is, again, black and white, that again, chastisement will play a part in saving a soul from hell. Is that what your Bible says? Proverbs 29, look at this one real quickly. Proverbs 29, verse 15 and 17. I'm just kind of rushing through these. And they are all available in this little booklet again here that is available for free online if you don't want to buy it. Our library is completely out of these right now. But again, it's got all these verses outlined. I'm just kind of preaching the outline out of the book. Proverbs 29, look with me at verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so notice again here, the emphasis again is on the importance of that rod, and the meaning of that's clear. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Don't correct your son. What's the opposite of rest? You got turmoil. You got fighting, you got problems. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. Wisdom versus shame. Rest and delight versus turmoil and discouragement. And so again, the importance of disciplining a child. It can't be overemphasized from our pulpits today. Unfortunately, it is. There's two reasons why our society has turned vehemently against spanking. Number one reason, after Family Feud game last night. Reason number one for our society being against spanking is because God is for it. Everything that our society is against, you look around and you find that God is for it. And so all the studies they build, they say, oh, no, this is bad. You look in your Bible, you'll find out that God's for it. If they spend all of their time denying a world flood, which they do, evolutionists do, they absolutely deny it. All the evidence is here in this world. It's all around us. We're living right in the middle of the Finger Lakes where it's prominent again. And so all the evidence for a world flood is everywhere. If you've ever flown an airplane, flew over Texas, it looks like a huge dried lake bed. And so It's because it is. Again, there was a world flood. Water did run off. And that's why our world looks like it does. That's why some valleys, that's why the Grand Canyon's there. And again, all these things that we look at, we've got all the evidence, but the world hates that. And the world despises that. And the scientific journals will blackball anyone who believes in a world flood. Why is that? Because God said there was a world flood. And it was His wrath and His judgment. And there's no natural explanation for it. It is a supernatural world flood. And so again, every time God says something, our society is against it. And so that's the number one reason. But also understand that there has been a lot of misuse of spanking by ignorant Christians, if I could put it there. Christians might need to be in quotes there. And so again, there's been a lot of misuse of spanking. So let me just give you these five principles real quickly, and then we'll press on. Number one, misuse of spanking. Is spanking in anger?
Yeah.
Spanking in anger. If you have anger issues yourself, be very careful in your discipline. Never strike a child in your anger. And again, that's a big misuse because we've raised generations that have anger issues that aren't settled, that aren't dealt with. If you've ever lost your temper, it's because you don't have something called temperance. That's a fruit of the Spirit, and that is self-control. And so again, never spank a child in anger. There's times when I've had to sit my children down and said, I'll be back in a couple hours. There have been times when I probably should have said, I'll be back in a couple days again, but we want to keep things a little bit immediate here. So listen, be careful of that anger issue. It's in us. And it's part of our old nature. Do not spank when angry. Do not spank when a child is not expecting it. Everyone's heard story. You're sitting there and you say something, and the dad just whops across the lip. Never spank a child when they're not expecting it. Never slap a child. Never discipline a child when they're not expecting it. I like to add, and we probably will later, when a spanking is not already bought and paid for again. So again, don't spank a child over spilt milk. Don't just spank a child because that's your nature. Notice also that one of the failures and misuses in spanking is this, the failure to spank when one was bought and paid for. Okay. If you promise them a spanking and you don't give them one, you violated a rule of parenting here for consistency. I forgot what someone gave us. Now that when we were first grandparents, they gave us a rod, and it was a little switch, and it had a big pillow on the end and little lace all around it. And so here for grandparents, here's your new spanking stick. You give it with a little pillow on it again. No, that's not it. I know we got some grandparents here in the room, and I don't know how you can practice this, honestly, except teach your children again and raising their children. Teach your neighbors, teach others again, and have this in our heart. But look at one more verse, Proverbs 13:24. I don't know why I wrote that down here, but it seems to be important with this. Failure to spank when one is bought and paid for. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him
betimes.
What does that mean, betimes?
Many times.
Many times, no. Although that was... I thought that's what it meant when I was a kid. Yeah, be times is kind of early. Better early than late. So be on time with a spanking. Be times is, again, it may involve a little bit of many, but certainly it involves be there early with a spanking. Lots of time we put it off. I've heard parents say 1, 2, 3, 4. Listen, don't be a counter. I don't like counters. I know there's something psychologically wrong with that. I'm not sure what it is right now. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I do know this, again, that we need to spank B times. When a spanking is bought and paid for, it needs to be delivered again. One of the Rices, it wasn't John, I think it was Bill Rice, who I drew most of my notes from, was talking about one of the preachers he heard, and it said, well, what does B times mean? When should you spank a child? And he said, well, I don't know. If it's a little girl, you should probably wait a day or two. But if it's a little boy, you ought to spank him the day he comes home from the hospital, he said. And so that's what B times means. Be early rather than late with that kind of discipline. Number three, I forgot where I was here. Oh, I think I skipped a point with that verse again. So failure to spank when one was bought and paid for. And that Proverbs fits with that. Spank a child, number three, never spank a child without addressing a disobedience. Never spank a child without addressing a disobedience. We're careful in our house to try and make sure that we never spanked a child unless it was for one sin. Disobedience. If they did something wrong, but we've never told them it was wrong, then they didn't buy and pay for a spanking. Does that make sense? So disobedience. And listen, you'll see plenty of opportunities for that. If you raise kids, you know, again, you tell the child, do not touch that electrical outlet. And what does the child do as soon as you told him that?
He goes right for it.
He looks at that, then he looks at you, then he looks at that, then he looks at you, then he goes over there and he reaches out, and he stops, and he looks back at you. And he said, there's a test going on here. And the question is, who's going to win? We've had a lot of stuff talked about with the strong-willed child. Listen, there's no such thing as a strong-willed child. What there is a child who has a stronger will than the parents have. And we've defined that as, well, that's just a strong-willed child. That's because he outwits the parents. He outlasts the parents. And so again, there's always a disobedience question. Again, and when a child is being spanked, not for spilt milk. A child's not being spanked for doing something, again, that might be wrong, but you have not given them instruction that says, do not do this. And so, again, there's principles involved there that sometimes you have to make them a little bigger, because a child will draw the letter of the law, you know. You said I had to be in by 10, but you did not say that, okay, so listen, they'll find every little detail that they can call you on. Addressing disobedience. And then number five, make sure spanking is not your only child-rearing tactic. Spanking cannot be your only child-rearing tactic. There's times and places for it when it is, again, certainly the best. But again, understand it is not our only. Seven rules for child-rearing. Let me run through these real quickly. Talk with your children. Anticipate things with your children. We sat down again with our kids when they started turning teenagers, saying, man alive, of course, we was a youth pastor, been involved in church, and we'd seen some things that teenagers can do. We'd seen some things that teenagers could drag their parents through. And so we sat down with our kids, and we just brainstorming. What's going to happen when you do this? And then Beverly and I would get alone, and we'd brainstorm even worse situations. What are we going to do when our children do this or that or the other thing? Talk about things. Talk about things to your children. And make sure they know the ground rules going in. They know what's right and wrong. And they know what's expected of them. Children do what's expected of them. I should write a book called Children Do What's Expected of Them. In our school system today, you know what's expected of them? Nothing, okay? Or maybe rebellion is expected of them, or their rights is expected of them. Children do what's expected of them. And so set your expectations, talk about, anticipate. And anticipate punishment and talk about it. Number two, keep your word. Seven rules of child rearing. Number two, keep your word. Number three, husband and wife be agreed. Now, here we got a big problem that we can go back to this one flesh issue again to understand that that moms are made for mothering.
Amen.
And dads are made for discipline.
Amen.
Moms are made for mothering. Dads are made for discipline. And so again, I don't mind the rule. Again, I've heard it preached against that. Wait till your father gets home. Listen, I would rather my wife say, wait till your father get home, and we get a judicial punishment in place, rather than sometimes her trying to handle it herself. Because, listen, moms sometimes, again, act more like moms than they do disciplinarians. And so, but there has to be an agreement. You've got to be agreed. Any dissension, listen, don't think that child, don't miss that. If there's any way for a child to drive a wedge between mom and dad, they know how to do it. And they'll do it very effectively, and you'll raise a little manipulator instead of a wholesome, self-disciplined child. They'll just manipulate situations. For the rest of their natural life, they'll be manipulators. And so again, make sure there's agreement. Make sure there's a unity. Make sure there's a front. Cooperate in the punishment. And I've heard preachers say, one person hold them, the other one spank them. I don't agree with any too much of that. But there should be some kind of cooperation. Once a spanking is deserved, listen, that child should never think that it's undeserved. That child should never think, well, mom doesn't think I should get this punishment, but dad's going to give it to me anyway. There should never be that dissension. But also, again, that a child should understand that this punishment for me is right. And it is just. And it is just what I deserve. It should not be because dad's angry and mom's not. It should not be for any other reason than, hey, this punishment is deserved. I deserve this. And again, it takes some talk again to bring a child to that position sometimes. And don't let that forego the punishment. Number five here, spank soundly. And I got Proverbs 19:18. Let's look at that real quickly. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Spank soundly. Whenever I read this verse, I think of my dad who spanked soundly. Yes, indeed. And then he set you down on what he had just spanked and said, stop crying right now. And if you didn't stop crying right now, you got another spanking for that again. And so look what this verse says about it. And he probably quoted this verse to me before. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Most child crying is an act. A very good act, okay? If you don't think so, you just go around and sit in the grocery store where the kids are with mom getting groceries and watch some of the fits they show. Watch some of the crying that goes on there. And again, don't quit for the crying. Spank until you get things settled. Wow. Spank until you get things settled. If the child is still mad after a spanking, you did not get things settled. Okay? If the child comes out of that angry or fuming again about how he's going to get even, you did not get things settled. And so you need to spank until things get settled. Number seven is talk after each spanking. I can't overemphasize the importance of that. And that talk needs to be positive. Again, you just gave them a spanking. You just gave them a corporal punishment of some sort. And when you do a talk with them, it needs to be positive. They need to know that they're loved. Tell them out loud that you love them. And sometimes parents aren't good at that, but we need to learn it. Tell them you love them. build their character. Edify them through a spanking. Again, and that's done by talking about why the spanking and how to avoid it next time. Edify the child. Build their character a little bit, even in our discipline. And then the last, we talked a little bit about in Sunday school, just being consistent. We need to be consistent. And a child can see any inconsistencies. and just wedge them and use them again to their advantage. And so the trouble with raising children, lots of times they're smarter than the parents. They are geniuses, again, when it comes to getting around some of these issues. And so just being consistent. If you're consistently wrong, well, maybe you could look at that again. But at least be consistent is important to do that again. Be consistent. So I didn't do too bad. I got that whole outline in and 45 minutes. Again, I encourage you to get some books on child rearing. Bill Rice has got a whole excellent series. What's it called? Love 'em, Lick 'em, and Learn 'em. I think again, he's got that Beverly and I just love. And so use them. In fact, in that book, he said this. I had a couple other things that I wanted to read out of the book here that I had illustrations I didn't get to, but it's available online. And pursue that. A lady psychiatrist told Dr. Bill Rice, and he was preaching on discipline, child rearing for the whole week. And a lady psychiatrist came up to him and said, "If my father spanked me, I would have hated him for the rest of my life." And so Dr. Bill Rice said to the lady, "Lady, if my father spanked you, you would have loved him to death just for stopping." So again, there's a lot to be learned. And understand that God's word is clear here about capital punishment. Again, about spanking. And let's go ahead and do it wisely and do it godly. And to teach our children and our children's children, for some of us here. Listen, they're not going to hear any of this from our society. And so again, they need to hear it from God's word. And make sure again, you get your children some books on child rearing. I again recommend Bill Rice's stuff there on child rearing. Father, praise you again and thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you again, Father, that you are our Father. And each role that we have looked at, whether it be husband and wife, Father, that you play such an important and such a role model in that role, we praise you for it. And even being a father to us, and us being able to come to you and say, "Abba, Father," we thank you for the privilege. And ask again, Father, that you touch each one in this room, that we'd be better parents, better grandparents, better great-grandparents, that we would be better children. Father, that we'd come to love you more for the instruction book that you gave us on life. Help us to learn it. Help us to use it. Help us to love it. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand and sing an invitation song. Perhaps God's put on your heart about something in this day of worship. I think 308. Is a song I like. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. If you're here today and you're not saved, never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to save your soul. You don't have Him living within you. When you pillow your head, you're not sure that you have eternal life and that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed your soul. Boy, I encourage you to deal with that today, even as we'd sing. I surrender all. 308. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all.